Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. But I want to say, we got this interview. You know, if you don't know Peter Wagner, his ministry, he's an apostle, but his ministry is called Global Harvest Ministries, and it's just a real authentic person, a good person, and has never stopped. He said, but the day I was born again is the day that God called me into the harvest field. And one thing he says in about often is, and this is known, that the best method under heaven for evangelism is church planting. Mm-hmm. That there's never been a better method, and there never will be a better method. Think about that.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that's what we're at Vine Fellowship Network, we're all about. But I want you to hear, you know, Peter Wagner and Steve Hill are talking here. And I wanted to share this with you so you can hear a now word, what's going on. Listen, they're talking about the condition of the Church of America. You know, it's really tough that when you've been wealthy, when you've been blessed and all these things have been good for you, you know, that it doesn't mean it always will be. So we have to be willing to understand that even though we're still eating yesterday's groceries, that there might not be any groceries in the bag tomorrow if we don't understand how we got that and, right. and repent and turn back. And he's what he's talking about is how the Lord has shifted. Things have shifted in the move of God that was happening once in America now is happening in India and all that. And how to bring it back. And we're going to talk to you more after this interview. But listen to Steve Hill with Steve Hill Ministries and Peter Wagner. We'll be right back.
Steve Hill here with Peter Wagner. And I just wanted to talk with you about something that's on my heart right now. This is going to be short. So what I want you to do is put your ears on, okay, and listen. Because God's got a plan for every one of our lives. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in Peter Wagner's mind that he's got a plan for our lives. But oftentimes he sends messengers to speak to us. And we have to pay attention. We have to stop long enough to listen. And so it's good to have you with us in our studio. Peter Wagner, you just bless my heart. I mean, I just touching you blesses my heart because you've written how many books?
Well, who's counting? But I've written 73.
Oh, 73. Okay, 73 to my 12, but I still got some years on me, okay?
You do.
So
I just want to say that it's an honor for me to be with Steve Hill, a legend in our own time.
So
what a blessing it is to be here. And I hope the people who are listening really have their hearts stirred with what we're going to say.
Well, thank you so much. You get around us, and there's a lot of subjects we can discuss on. But I'm very limited, and we get calls from all over the world, and pastors want you to do this or do that, and I go, this is what I'll come do, okay? And I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Okay? Religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross. Okay? The cross has benefits. Okay? There's great benefits to Christianity. But Jesus got on it. And he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice involved in it. What should the message right now be from pastors, from prophets, from evangelists, from anyone who's in the ministry or anyone who calls themselves a Christian? What should the message be?
Well, you and I believe in revival. And I think that one of the keys to revival is Jesus' Great Commission. I mean, in Matthew quotes Jesus as saying to preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is saved will be saved, and who is baptized. And so seeing the numbers of people being saved and baptized and then folded into churches and churches multiplying in a way that they multiply so fast that they change society, leads us into Matthew's quote of the Great Commission, where he tells us to make disciples of whole nations.
But you're talking radical stuff.
I know. Okay? Yeah, what I'm saying is...
That's what bugs me, okay? Well, because how do I, okay? I'm an evangelist pastor, okay? You're everything, okay? And you get out there and you try to get that into somebody's heart, okay, is a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, but it can. People can understand and listen and be born again and filled with the Spirit and move out and do that.
Well, you know, I believe that.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I believe that because we, you know, we have fruit. There's fruit that follows. But the message today, okay, in America is needful. Okay, I watch. Okay, we're right now in a political year. Okay, and every year is a political year, but. I look at politicians, and they get up, and the one who has the fiercest voice, the one who has the most powerful message, the one who has this just undying passion, this unction, is the one that seems to slide into, you know,
the
voters' hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at Christianity, and I'm going, okay, the one who is passionate, the one who is able to, at work, open their mouths and talk about the things of Christ rather than the things of just the Bible or the just sections or portions of the Scripture, the whole gospel. That's a concern of mine.
Absolutely. And based on the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed and the salvation that he brought, that is what pastors need. And not just taking care of the sheep, but preaching the gospel that will move through their sheep to those who are not saved and touch them with the gospel and bring them in and continue that process. If we do that, we can see whole cities transformed.
Words fitly spoken. And I want to say to those pastors that are watching, if you're don't be offended by anything, okay? Because I'm an evangelist and a pastor and I've traveled all over the world, okay? And I'll stand in front of a group of people and don't worry about offending somebody and standing up and saying that they need to be a little bit stronger with their message. They need to be a little bit more forceful when they communicate with other people about the gospel, because we're not making progress.
I have some very strong opinions about that.
Yeah.
And what we see in America, as you've just said, Steve, can be very discouraging. I mean, we have dropped the ball terribly here in this country. In the last century, we didn't drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel was spreading.
Mm-hmm.
There, people were strong in the Lord. There were people who were going to church. There were people who wanted to see the kingdom of God come. Now that we've gone into the 21st century, we've dropped the ball. But now what God has done is he's tossed the ball to some other countries,
mm-hmm.
like China.
Okay.
I mean, China, I used to think until last week that China had the greatest church growth in the world. It did have the greatest harvest of souls from 1976 after the Cultural Revolution with the rural underground church, the greatest national harvest of souls in all history.
Yeah.
And I believe there are about 140 million Christians in China now, which would be 10% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think India was second, that India was about there, but not quite there. Last week, I was with some Indian leaders who told me, even though I insisted, I cross-examined them, I almost told them they were wrong. They wouldn't back down. India is 25% Christian now.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing, amazing statistic.
I want to break in right now and say to this should not offend anyone. What this should challenge you. This should challenge me. Okay, I'm a young man, Okay, and I'm speaking to many. You may say, well, you know, I'm this. Peter, you're up in, I don't know, 70, 80s or whatever, but the bottom line is you got the fire of an 18-year-old, okay? and the vision. The vision, and you see the world laid out like God sees it laid out. He goes, listen, if you don't take this and run with it, if you don't take this pure gospel that I've given you, and it's simple, the gospel is not complicated. If you don't take this and run with it, I'm going to pass the ball to somebody
else. You're going to give it to somebody else. That's right.
I'm going to give it to somebody else, and they're going to run with it.
Exactly right.
That's what happened. Let me just ask you.
We need more people swallowed by whales like Jonah. He was going to take it from Jonah, but Jonah learned his lesson.
He learned his lesson, and I think revival came out of all
that's
that.
That's right.
And so sometimes, some people need that, by the way. Some people need Saul of Tarsus experiences, okay, which he needed. He was on his way to really hurt some people, okay, and he needed to have an encounter. Some people need encounters with God that are violent, and other people need, like Lydia experiences, just, you know, kind. She was a seller of purple cloth and just became a believer. And so if God passes the ball to China, it's because China's going, and India, India, we go there, and my goodness. It's like you go, stop. They want to run the cross so quick. They want a part.
We have one lady named Liana in India. We commissioned her an apostle 3 years ago, and this is with Cheyenne's network. And at that time, one of the reasons we commissioned her, because she was outstanding. She had planted 3,000 churches in North India.
Uh-huh.
Last week, Cheyenne told those of us who are on his board that she has now planted 5,000. I mean, 2,000 churches in 2 or 3 years. Yeah. By a woman apostle. We need a few of those here in America.
I lived, you know, you speak Spanish. I speak Spanish. Oh, you lived in, was it Bolivia?
Bolivia.
Bolivia. And we lived in Argentina for years. And same thing. We would give an altar call. Someone would come forward, get saved. Next news you know, they've planted 3 churches. Blink your eyes. They've planted 10. Blink your eyes. And some North Americans down the road can't get anything off the ground.
Exactly right.
And I'm going, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the picture. Let me just ask a couple more things. And thank you so much for tuning in and just listening and letting God speak to you, because there's a great revival coming, a great move of God coming. Tell Jesus you want to be a part of it. Okay, would you do that? Tell him today that you want to be a part of it, that you don't want to be left behind, okay? I don't want to be left behind. Okay, we talked about the message. How about the motive, okay? Because we have so many people entering the ministry. I talked to a young person the other day. I said, what are you going to do? And he goes, I'm going into the ministry. And I said, define that. Okay, define that to me. What you're going into the ministry. How old are you? He said, I'm 23. And I said, oh, you're going into the ministry. Okay, nowadays, okay, you can go into the ministry and there's salary packages. Okay, a salary package, you know, is not something where a bunch of lettuce come. You know, we're talking about a salary package where, you know, do I get a car? Do I get a house? You know, how much do I get a year? This is what, you know, are you going to pay me for, you know, and don't be offended again. Are you going to pay me for playing my instrument or all this? And, you know, a lot of that's not wrong. It is wrong if you got people playing instruments that are heathen. Okay, but this motive, I know why I entered, because I wanted everyone to have what I have.
See, that's the difference. many people go into the motive with for self. Their focus is on their self, and you just described that very well. And there are too many people in the ministry who are in the ministry for what I can get out of it. Even to get blessing out of it. Who's the blessing for? The blessing is for me. What you describe, Steve, is what I also believe. I believe that the motive for going into ministry is to allow the Spirit of God to use me to reach others, to help others fulfill the destiny that God has for their lives.
And from that, let me just tag on to that. This is so important. This is not all just a love feast, okay? When you get into the ministry, okay, you're going to get hurt. Jesus, you're gonna have Judases, okay? We've all had Judases, people that turn on you, people that you pour into, and so you may have this motive when you first start that I'm gonna, you know, the ministry, and you get in there and things go great for a few years. But all those who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer some persecution. I mean, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, okay? If you're not suffering persecution, you're probably not living godly in Christ Jesus. That means if you're not going through some type of struggles, there's a good chance you're soft, okay? There's got to be some type of passion. There's got to be something there. And so the motive when I first got in the ministry, one of the first persons I ministered to killed themselves. And I was just in shock because I thought everyone was just going to be like me. They were, because I was radically saved out of drug addiction and alcoholism. I thought I was going to be radically saved, and instead I was sharing the gospel with people that didn't have the same background and didn't have the same desires. Okay, last question. What one thing or two things is keeping you going right now in this global outreach? Okay, and I personally believe that we're at the end of time. Okay, I believe the sand is at the bottom of the hourglass. Okay, what keeps you going?
What keeps me going is what I believe that God brought me into when I first got saved, the day I got saved. And the day I got saved, I was like the Apostle Paul. I got saved and I got called to the nations the same night. And so my calling is to help fulfill the Great Commission. And that's what keeps me going. The Great Commission is not fulfilled yet. And until the Great Commission is fulfilled, I am going to keep going. I'm only 81, but the Bible says in Genesis 6:3 that we're supposed to live be 120. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal. Mm-hmm. I want to keep going. I want to do whatever part God gives me to fulfill the Great Commission until I'm 120 or die trying.
So what you've done is the seed that was planted in you, as a, you said, the you know, Paul, the Saul of Tarsus conversion, the conversion. I had the same type of conversion. That same type of seed was planted in me, okay? And years later, decades later, I mean, during the Brownsville revival and all, during the Argentine revival and all these revivals, and we pastor in Dallas now, same thing at the church. It's, they say, people come up and say, you haven't changed. You haven't changed. It's because that seed, if it's an apple seed, that's going to produce an apple. Okay? And Steve Hill, and I can see Peter Wagner, is not going to get out there and in midstream go, you know something, it's been good.
No.
It's been good. But there's a whole different avenue, and there's a whole different teaching that's coming down the pike. And I want to be a part of that. I want to thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
For coming and being with us and being a challenge to many generations. Okay, you cross over all these generations, which is really beautiful. And my generation, I haven't given up on. Okay, but my generation, I'm pouring. I have such a belief that there's a generation that's rising right now, that are going to have that passion to see this world change for the glory of Christ. Thank you, brother.
Bless you.
I love you.
Thank you.
That is so powerful. You know, you know, just, we just love Steve Hill and Peter Wagner, and he's just right on. I mean, it's amazing how that's such a now word, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, and the enemy of Jesus' kingdom and his will and his way is religion.
All right.
You know, and so being religious does not guarantee you're going to be walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus guarantees you're going to be walking with Jesus. You know, and it's wonderful that India, you know, is where they are as the number one now in regards to growth. And China, in its methodology and the expression, which is more of the natural progression of the church. And actually, you probably could compare, you know, Vine Fellowship Network to, you know, the way the church in China, which is the largest church, part of the church in the world, you know, which kind of says, well, maybe we could learn something from China, you know.
Right.
And, but, you know, here we are. I mean, it's like things are shifting from America. We're not responding, have not yet responded in this present generation. But I got good news for you. I got good news, Pat.
Yeah.
You know, we've been laboring. We've been laying foundation. We've been dealing with Sanballat. You know, it's a whole different thing, you know, with Jeremiah, Nehemiah. But understanding that God has prepared, he's preparing across the land for you. If you're one of the ones that's going, oh my goodness, I don't want to miss God in my generation. You know, if you want to get on fire for God, you need to find out what God's doing and dive into it. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. You don't do something and say, God, dive into me. It just doesn't work that way.
Nope.
You will may have a large following, by the way,
yeah.
If there's enough entertainment and all that stuff. But find out what God's doing and dive into it. And, you know, the passion that Steve Hill has and Peter Wagner's consistently had all these years, that's the passion that we have at Vine Fellowship Network. When God began to first call me, you know, I was a traditional pastor, you know, founding work of a traditional church from the ground up. Know it all, been there, done that, know exactly how it works. You talk to people. They said, great job, and they don't plan on doing much with it.
Right.
But when God called me out, when he began to set me out from tradition expression that's kind of like Steve was talking about, he's like, don't be offended, but this is the truth. You know, it was like he showed me a flower pot. Mm-hmm. He showed me like a terracotta flower pot, and it had this plant in it, and it was a vision. Mm-hmm. And then this plant had grown so much, the roots were overgrown. It was just packed with roots. And so he showed me this thing being pulled out of that small terracotta pot, flower pot, really. And it's this huge, huge pot. And he showed me put in the, or it was going into this other particular larger vessel. And it wasn't the fact that, you know, the flower or the plant did not have the ability to grow more. It was being restrained by what it was in. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so with that, you know, you can have everything in you that's right, but your container can be wrong, you know. And today, of course, that large pot is what we know as Vine Fellowship Network that facilitates a continual, perpetual church planting movement around the world. That's what we do. We train up leaders. We send them out. We have VFN television that broadcasts into all the churches. We have VFN radio. We have all these wonderful things that we don't have a lot of time to talk about. But the whole point is, I want to say is that listen, let's not just sit back and watch India, you know, be faithful in their generation, the Indian church. Let's not watch just China being faithful, the China church being faithful. We as Americans can be faithful. But I'm telling you right now, you know, it's going to be really tough for the present container that has been satisfied. Like, you know, Steve Hill talks about, you know, me and Peter, we're not going to be one of those people that sit back and go, you know, I think we kind of arrived at a place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we kind of, as if this place is our home.
Right.
You know, you want to be, you know, dissatisfied in the context of you want more of God. God wants to give you more, but he only feeds the hungry. You have to be hungry for more of him. You have to be, you know, content, but dissatisfied with wanting to see more people know God, wanting to see the fulfillment of scriptures, you know. And so when you think about it, Jesus said the church is not a plant, it's a vine. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're the branches. And think about a difference between a plant or a flower pot and a vine. You know, I think about, you know, Charles Simpson's book. He has ants, vines, and I think flower pots or something like that. And But a vine just grow, a plant can only do what the pot allows it to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not because the pot's not good, not, but it's because it's limited. It can't go beyond that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But a vine grows and goes wherever it does.
Yeah.
You know, wherever the sun, mm-hmm. it grows towards the sun, right?
That's right.
Go figure, right?
Yeah.
And so we're called to be a vine. We're not called to be a plant, even though it can be pretty and a lot of money's invested into making that flower pot look good. You know, if we're going to hear God in this generation, if we're going to hear him, I know this is probably not popular with those who manage flower pots and those who are getting those lettuce packages, salary packages that right. Steve talked about. But isn't it worth eternal rewards? Isn't it worth seeing somebody know this Jesus that you profess, even if it costs you everything? Even if you're like the Moravians who sold themselves into slavery, they left their wives and their children. Pat, listen, they left their wives and their children and sold themselves into slavery because there was no Christians
right.
in that group of slaves. They wanted to be able to win some of them to the Lord.
Mm.
You know, and just stepping out and obeying God's really, is that really that hard
right.
is in America right now?
Yeah.
We don't waste this freedom. I don't know how much freedom we have left, but you don't want to waste it. And so I want to encourage you that if you've been, you know, you're hearing that and that just encouraged you, check out Vine Fellowship Network. It's vfnfamily.org. And you can see, I mean, we're doing this. This is what we're doing. We're preparing and getting rightly related with your brothers and your sisters, you know, getting your foundation down. Even though you may have been in a organization, you may have been in a flower pot, you know, in that type of situation, which is a genuine, authentic, you know, the people in there are the authentic church that is the church, but they're limited, that you need to reintroduce yourself to the simple foundational gospel. Just like Steve says, it's just so simple. It's not that complicated. And with that, we do that. What's called foundations of faith, and mm-hmm. you begin to abide with God. You're going to have to hear from God. Now, if you're going to take this journey, if you want to be one of the faithful ones, if you want to be like Naboth and be faithful mm-hmm. with the father's inheritance, you know, and you want to grow your field for God, and you want to be one that just says, you know, and you got to just break yourself away from all those who say you can't, it won't, and you can only do what we allow you to do in this flower pot. Versus saying, you know, what is God saying? God, it's not the great suggestion. It's a great commandment.
Right.
You know, we shouldn't pray if we should go out into all the world. You know, God, do you really want me to go tell somebody about you? Oh, right. I don't know. I'm thinking you just need to earn money for yourself and get more boats and things. You know, just right. get you a bigger house and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But I'll find somebody else to go tell them about. Really? Serious? You know, come on.
All right.
Come on. And a boat's not bad. I got a good friend that's a boat. Anyway, so listen. And so God began to just pour that in our heart. And so we've laid this foundation out. And now there's, you know, VFN family members that are across the globe. We have pastors that are across the globe that in themselves are just obeying God. And God's just miracle signs and wonders and the fullness. Aren't you tired about just reading the Word of God? Are you really satisfied being religious? Are you ready to be relational? Are you ready to see the fulfillment of who God says he is in your life? Listen, either God is God or he's not. And he is. Either God can or he can't. And he can. Think about it. So it's up to you. Do you believe him? Are you ready to step out? Are you ready to be bold? And one man named Steve Hill came to a Gulf Coast city named Pensacola who walked into a church. And I was there the very day he came. And the minister there was I love him to death. And I was there. His name is Brother John Kilpatrick. And he had gone through some real tough times. Some tough things were going on. You know, and God, and that's preparation for revival, by the way. You got to be willing to go through some stuff. And Steve was there that morning, and he was going to be speaking on Father's Day. It was me. It was Gary Hinkey. It was a couple others. And Gary's now an evangelist out in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Give a shout out this morning to Pat and Gary. And Steve was just on fire for God. He was just on fire for God. So we came in there to pray
mm-hmm.
for Brother Kilpatrick because he was going to go, and we were going to pray for him that morning. And he said, you know, pray for him. And of course, he was on
yeah.
fire. I think we laid hands on him, and we're the ones that, you know.
Yeah.
And so that was Father's Day, 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was just on fire for God. Why? Because he'd been touched by God.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get desperate enough. You got to be willing to go through the fire. You got to be willing, so desperate that you're totally dissatisfied, like Charles Seymour with the Azusa Street Revival. There's just so much. We're going to talk more about this in the extra hour because we're going to be coming to the end in just a moment to this, to the first hour right here. But I want you to be encouraged. I want you to get excited. I want you to understand that God just wants you and you alone to believe and then somebody else and them alone to believe. Don't look at integrating your belief and saying, I got to have somebody else that believes with me. You can stand alone for God and say, you know what? Just like Charles Seymour did. He said, I want it. I want it, God. I'm desperate for it. I'm hungry for it. And God poured out himself out in such a powerful way, almost against the will of the church that was there, and definitely against the will of his spiritual father, you know, and all that stuff. We'll talk more about that. We have in past programs. But God began to move. I mean, you think about the Welsh revivalists, you know, Robert Evans, and how one young man began to believe God. Or you think about Smith Wigglesworth, you know, you think about him. He's a plumber that stuttered. You know, and then he believed God and God moved. And so you think about Amy Semple McPherson. You think about, you know, Catherine Coleman. You think about just one individual. You can, God is waiting for you. Someone rise up like a George Washington did for a nation, rise up for our Lord and begin to head into the harvest field. And you can find out more going to vfnfamily.org. Get rightly related, get your foundations and get launched into your destiny, into the kingdom of God. I'm so excited. I can't wait to talk to you in the extra hour. We're coming to the end right now, you know, as Steve and Steve Hill and Peter Wagner were sharing, you know, their hearts, you know, right now, fresh, you know, about what he's doing, what, you know, what God, a move of God, you know, what is it going to take for a move of God, and how this generation has missed it right now.
Right.
But how God is preparing, you know, and we know we've been laboring for what's about to take place. You know, the next move of God makes no sense to the past move of God. You know what I'm saying? Because they think, you know, well, we're it, you know, and, you know, it's all about us. And, you know, and it's like, no, that's God. It's powerful. Mm-hmm. And you know, the one thing the old wineskin and the new wineskin have in common is they're both God.
All right.
You know. But behold, the Lord does a new thing. He's continually unveiling himself, and he never leaves his word. He never leaves himself.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to keep moving with the cloud and what God's doing. And so, don't ever look to be understood by the old move. But understand this: you need to honor, you know, what presently exists, knowing that you know that is God. But we were talking about, you know, an interview. Wasn't that an awesome interview?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, with Steve Hill and Peter Wagner. And talking about, like, I think 20% of India now is Christian. And
yeah.
Christians in India. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Man, and then China's church. But we started talking about as well is Vine Fellowship Network. You know, what is Vine Fellowship Network? Why is there VFN radio? Why is there VFN TV? Because we're preparing for this massive harvest that's going to be taking place, that stadiums, listen to me. Stadiums are going to be filled with those who abide with the Lamb, those who abide with Jesus Christ, people that hear his voice themselves. And we come together to say one very important thing. Amen to what we're hearing from God. And so we're pumped about it. We're excited about it. We're just honored to be a part of what the Lord is doing. And when you think about it, kind of continuing on from the second part of the first hour now, just talking about how can you obey God in this generation? What can you do? You know, find out what, I believe it's Dr. Michael Brown that says this. Maybe it could be Dr. Brown. And but if you want to do something for God, find out what he's doing and just dive into it.
Mm.
Don't go do something and ask God to dive into you. Ain't going to happen. Mm-mm. Many things will dive in, by the way. Just find out what God's doing and dive into it. You know, and understanding that when you follow God, Jesus had to step out of what was to be able to bring what will be to pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. He tried bringing it, and you know, as you know, anybody that knows my journey, I never tried harder to bring what God is doing and going to do to so many and so many wonderful people. But the reality is, there a lot of people are a part of what God was doing, and it is God.
Right.
But you know what? Behold, the Lord does a new thing.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you see people leaving what is by droves, it's not always necessarily a bad thing. It's God allowing them to leave. And, you know, I prophesied that they would be leaving.
Yeah.
But they're not leaving to go nowhere. They're looking for the voice of God. They're looking for God. You know, mm-hmm. they're trying to find the Lord. I mean, it's a lot of things are happening. But I got good news for you, that God is alive and well, that the book of Acts is not a history book. It's an operator's manual, you know?
Yeah.
And that we're seeing firsthand from all diversity, from men and women and children, from, you know, all over the VFN family, that across the world, we're seeing God move, the power of God, just things you used to read about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got to be careful because you may be still reading about it, and we could be assuming that you're experiencing the power of God in your life, and you're seeing, you're satisfied, you know, somebody told you that your religious experience is something. Let me tell you, he's real.
Mm-hmm.
He is real. The fear of the Lord is very important as we're talking about this, because, you know, if you don't have a fear of God, you need fence. You know, you need a fence. You, mm-hmm. you need a container. You need something to hold you in if you don't have a fear of God. But the fear of the Lord is a fence to you.
That's right.
You know, you don't have to worry about anybody, you know, telling you this or that when you have the fear of the Lord. You know, you're just going to do what's right. And if mm-hmm. you do what's wrong, you're going to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church, how can the church be the church? And what I talked about in the first half hour was, and you got to hear if you haven't heard it, is that, you know, God gave me a vision. When he began to call me out to what we're presently doing, he showed me an overgrown plant that was in a flower pot, and the roots were just packed out. You know how that looks? They're just packed out.
Mm-hmm.
And the plant didn't grow. And it's not that the plant did not have the ability to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the container wouldn't let it grow anymore. And so the church, we have to break out of the flower pot. In a God way, we have to follow God, you know, not just, this is not about rebellion or anything like that. You know, that's anyway, by the way, it won't work out well for you. Anything worth saying
about
rebellion. But we're talking about God. We're talking about what's the Lord doing. And, you know, it's the Great Commission. It's not the great suggestion. You know, he's called every one of us to, it's not just the holy man. Uh-huh. Hey, there's a holy man amongst us. So we need to send him a couple pittance and allow him to be able to go out and do what I'm called to do.
Right.
And the thing is that God's called us to do it. And you think about, you know, how can the church survive outside of the flower pot? How can, you know, they said this. This is what they said. They were having erosion problems in America at one time in our history.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard that there's a particular vine. I don't know where they got the vine from, but they shipped it in maybe from England. And it was called the kudzu vine. And they said, if you grow this vine, that it stops the erosion of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so they planted it. And they really never know if it stopped the erosion of the soil or not, because they have not seen the soil since they planted it. The vine just totally took over.
Yeah.
You know, we're not supposed to be contained, church. We're supposed to be humbled under the hand of God, following our shepherd, abiding with him, you know, and that's why we always talk about abiding with him. It's not just a good idea. Is we can do nothing outside of an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. We get empowered to do that. And you can go to iabide.org and begin to hang with God, and you're going to find out what I'm telling you is true. And we're supposed to be all over the place. I mean, even the first church that they had, if man was getting away with persecuting the church, everybody would have been thrown out of Jerusalem. But it was just the everybody but the leadership. The leadership stayed there. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Remember, they had to come back and to report to the apostles things that were going on. So if Satan was going to do away with something, he would do away with the leaders.
Right.
And so the church would be persecuted. So everywhere they went, they preached Jesus. Isn't that not awesome?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what God wants you to do. You know, and we have some stories that we can tell you about, you know, those when you start really telling people about God at your workplace, you'll find out you never really ever told them, because you'll have all these things. Oh, I got to mention Jesus. Oh my goodness. Like the attorney with the armband.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, really? Come on. And now he's free and serving God. But think about it, that we got to quit being the Holy Spirit Junior, as if you can, that there's no baby Holy Spirit, junior Holy Spirit, you know, teenage Holy Spirit, adult Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And think about the role of the Holy Spirit. Let me just, what happens is when Jesus went to go be with the Father and sit at his right hand, immediately, remember, he told them to hang out in Jerusalem in the upper room to wait for the empowerment that would come by his Spirit. And so that's when the church was born, when he made it to heaven and he put his own blood on the mercy seat and he sat at the right hand of the Father, that all of a sudden it was like, bam, you know, the Holy Spirit comes in like tongues of fire and just roaring, and they began to speak with other languages, with other people. It was just a powerful, you know, move of God. And that was the birth. The Holy Spirit came to the earth and was poured out upon those who believe. And it's the Holy Spirit that directs us. Not, you know, a lot of people blame things on the Holy Spirit. That's just people that are manipulative. I'm talking about the Spirit of God, the fear of the Lord. I'm thinking about a couple things, and I'll make sure this is available on the VFN TV blog. And I'm just going to, there's a couple key things I'm just talking about with the role of the Holy Spirit. And this is the key. Once you realize the role of the Holy Spirit is, you may find out, my goodness, I've been turned into men for these roles. Or also you might find out you've been trying to play these roles when you should have just kicked back and let God deal with them. Because people will look at you that are religious and they'll say, you need to go do such and such and so. You say, you don't understand. The only person who can convict of sin is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You know? But this is what the role of the Holy Spirit is. We have to understand some of the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. Think about it. He's the one that counsels us. John 14:26. And I'm not going to read the scriptures, but make sure they're up beside each of these on the VFN TV blog. You can hear them. Go to VFNTV.com. And click on the blog. I'm just going to read off real quick, like there's so many of them. The Holy Spirit, the scriptural reference for each one of these. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things. The Holy Spirit will teach us what to say at the very time we need to say it, and that very certain thing. These are different things the Holy Spirit does. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that Jesus said. Think about it. The Holy Spirit enables us to hear the voice of God. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit gives us power to deal with the demonic oppressions. The Holy Spirit will control us if we will allow him to lead us. He will help us with self-control of the Spirit, mm-hmm. which, you know, is very important. The Holy Spirit knows what God is thinking. Think about it. He knows the thoughts of God. Wow. Is that powerful?
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, I don't know how you can just be the church. Well, first of all, we have to understand China did it. God led it.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit built it through men, and it's the largest aspect of the church in the world.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, hello, America. Wake up. We've got to deal with our pride. We've got to get out of these boxes. We've got to get God out of the box. But, you know, but if we don't have no fear of God, I can tell you, you need a fence. You can't do this if you have no fear of God. And we need a fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord causes us to desire to obey God mm-hmm. and to make things right with him. But also the Holy Spirit can be grieved by our actions and words towards each other. The Holy Spirit leads us into worship. The Holy Spirit enables us to discern what's right and wrong, right spirits and wrong spirit. Even those who are not believers, we can tell by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts people of righteousness. The Holy Spirit convicts people of judgment. The Holy Spirit can pray what we need or needs to be prayed at times we just don't even know how to pray, because he knows the thoughts of God. The Holy Spirit leads at prophecy. The Holy Spirit gives the power to preach. The Holy Spirit testifies to us the things of God. The Holy Spirit, Spirit's gifts are distributed by God's will under the leadership of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit washes us and will wash others for rebirth and renewal when God saves us. And when others are saved, the Holy Spirit guards us. The Holy Spirit is in believers. The Holy Spirit produces righteousness, peace, and joy in our life. The Holy Spirit works with our conscience to guide us through promptings and convictions and the directions. This is amazing.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I don't believe in the Spirit of God. Listen, you can say a lot of things, but don't talk about the Spirit of God.
All right.
The Holy Spirit is the conduit for God's love for us and to others. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as a gift from God. The Holy Spirit will identify and make individual overseers. Let me say this again. The Holy Spirit will identify and make individuals, people, overseers and shepherds of God's people and give them the power, the anointing to be able to do it. The Holy Spirit will warn us of possible danger. The Holy Spirit may come upon someone when they lay hands on them and they begin to speak with other tongues or prophesy. The Holy Spirit will prevent us from going places or doing certain things. You know, he talks about the Holy Spirit compelled me to go, or the Holy Spirit prevented me from going. The Holy Spirit will give peace and confirmation when it comes to knowing what instructions and directions to give the church or certain believers for events and things that are taking place. The Holy Spirit is in someone's life and heart, and it shows us that God has accepted us. The Holy Spirit will tell you who to set apart for certain works when taking the attitude of worship and seeking God for a direction during fasting and prayer. The Holy Spirit may even choose to fill believing individuals while you're speaking and teaching as a sign and as a wonder, totally without you doing anything. The Holy Spirit empowers us to go around doing good and healing all the oppressed by the devil. The Holy Spirit strengthens, encourages, and gives peace to the church, the body of believers. Think about this. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. He moves by permission and by the person's desire to have him move in their life and situation. That's why you're seeing a lot of restraint going on. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And speaking against the Holy Spirit and his work can have eternal, fatal consequences. And each of these have a scriptural reference. You can put them there. You got to understand that when you understand the role of the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk in the future about the control, how in control is God.
Mm-hmm.
But when you understand that the role of the Holy Spirit is just like, you know, we just got to back off and let God be God. We have to just listen to him. And what you find out is that once you realize this, you realize you got to start abiding with Jesus, because you got to be able to discern the Spirit of God. You got to know what God's saying. You can't just keep going and being religious and doing something you think you got figured out. But if we can do this, this is how you know we can get active in our generation. This is how we can. Be faithful in our generation like the past century was in regards to the gospel. Listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, but he's also got a pattern of how he does things. We cannot be nefarious when it comes to the things of God. We can't just set aside, you know, what God, nefarious means, you know, set aside what God says, somebody like Jeroboam did or Ahab did. We can't just set aside. We have to know God's ways. We have to get rightly related to the body of Christ. You know, we each know in part and prophesy in part, but you have to understand so that means we have to come together. And our great reward on earth is Christ in others. So when we get rightly related to the body of Christ and not just showing up at a place, but them knowing you and you knowing them, and you walk your life together in this journey, I mean, that's a huge reward. I mean, the enemy's really hurt a lot of people in regards to family. And he's trying to get people to no longer believe in family. Why? Because God wants a family. He's a father. And we're called to be brothers and sisters in the Lord, mothers and fathers in the Lord. And that can happen in Christ. You can have that in Christ. And we walk that out on a daily basis. And Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? He's saying, who is my family? He says, those who do the will of my Father. When you redefine family as how God defines family, then you can get everybody, including your biological family, get them into the family of God, and things get better when God's in it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So this is encouraging. Not only are you hearing, two awesome men of God, such as Steve Heal and Peter Wagner, talk about what's taking place and what has to happen, but you're also hearing that God has been preparing the way. He's been preparing the way, but you got to be willing to say this. You got to be willing to consider it all dung. That's what Paul said. Paul said he talked about all of his religious accomplishments. He talked about everything that he had been doing. But then he said in Philippians, he said, I consider all dung just to know him. I just want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. You know, what's going to be difficult for you when you try to bring a resume from the old wineskin into the new wineskin, when you try to integrate, you know, what you were doing, because it kind of gives you kudos. You know, you kind of say, well, look at me. You know, I have these accomplishments and all this, and that's pride. We got to say, you know what? I just want to serve God. I want to just go after him. And understand, we're doing this for the reward that's in heaven, not the reward we have on earth. And rest assured, if they treated Jesus bad for following the Father, they're going to treat you bad for following him. But those that want Jesus are going to run after you.
That's right.
You know, they're going to want what you have. You know, so they're going to. And so I want to encourage you that, you know, you can be that Smith Wigglesworth. You can be that Amy Simple McPherson. You know, you can be that Mariah Etter. You know, you can be that Dowie. You can be that John G. Lake. You can be the next Steve Hill. You can be the next Peter Wagner. You can be, I'm telling you, it is time for this generation that we're going to have to rise. Right now, there's a void in leadership in America because because they're stuck in a flower pot. they just kind of just left what was because they knew what was wasn't right. It wasn't right for this generation. It wasn't necessarily that it was bad. It just wasn't what God was doing at this time. And so I want to encourage you that you know, first of all, you know, where you are, if you begin to talk to your leaders where you are, they may be totally been trying to tell you for a long time this is what they want. And they're excited that you woke up, and this is they're behind you 100%. And you guys can partner together in that. But no matter what, you want to follow Jesus. And you know what I'm saying? And you'll find out there's a lot of people walking with you. Mm-hmm. That they just wanted to know Jesus. So I want to encourage you right now, take the time to go to VFN, that's V Victor, VFNfamily.org. You can also go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org if you want to get it there, maybe easier for you to remember. And just begin to explore, you know what, hey, you know what, that can be activated. It's not about joining an organization. I've already joined the family of God if I'm a believer. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can meet him now, right now. Just like the moment that Peter Wagner was born again, the moment he was born again, he was called into the Great Commission. We all are. This religion told us that we're not. But you are. Like I said, it's not the great suggestion. It's the great commandment. It's the great expectation of God for you to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, baptize those who believe, and teach them to obey Jesus' commands, not to set them aside, right, but to obey them. And so right now, go there, begin to explore and find us. Is this for me? Because we have right this moment that not only do we have the foundations of faith available to begin to teach you some basic principle foundations that you yourself, once you learn, can teach others. Because in China, what's unique about China, Pat? Mm-hmm. They have what's called chain link discipleship. It's called chain link because you know, millions rapidly being born in the kingdom of God. And so it's done in the context all over the place. It's not in a pot anywhere.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in a flower pot. It's not contained. And so it's just rapidly growing. Mm-hmm. You know, people are getting saved and born again. And they look to their wife and their family and say, listen, you know, I'm going to be gone for the next 6 months. I am going to go to these villages and I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And people are being born again. And what happens with chain link discipleship is that they teach this one new believer one revelation in God, knowing Jesus is Lord, for example, knowing Jesus Christ mm-hmm. is Lord. And before they teach the next revelation, that person has to go to teach two other believers that they just led to the Lord or just sitting around waiting to be taught.
Right.
We're all, listen. It was the teachers of the law that got rebuked the most by Jesus. And don't lift anybody up because of their gift, and don't allow them to levitate over you because of their gift. Realize it's everybody's called, you know, everybody's called, and you can participate in this end time harvest. It's just about saying yes to Jesus, no to the world. It's about dealing with our sins at the cross. It's about being empowered by the Holy Spirit and abiding with Jesus as he empowers us to walk in obedience to him and telling others about him. And as soon as we finish this, we're out of here.
Amen.
Yeah, the kingdom, not flower pot,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, not church. The church is, Jesus is the answer. The kingdom will be preached. The king's dominion will be preached to all. And then the end would come. And so the key to, if you want to expedite the Lord's return, listen to me. How much longer? Quit being so satisfied in this life and be dissatisfied with the way things are going. Don't be satisfied by religion. Don't be satisfied with just reading about it. God wants you to be the next chapter in the book of Acts. He wants to begin to move in your life. Yes, Ananias and Sapphira were in there. So we're not talking about religion here. You know, just like Steve said, when somebody said that, you know, he wanted to be in the ministry, he says, "What? Define that to me." You know, and and I got to tell you, this is the real deal. So read the whole book of Acts before you make this move, because you can die in this. I mean, you know, signs and wonders happen, but you don't want to be the sign, and you don't want people to wonder.
Yeah, right.
And any of us can. Yeah, you know, we have to hear God. It's just this desperate need to hear him. But it's most exciting. It'll save you a lot of money on bungee jumping because you can just live in the constant state of, whoa, you know, look what God's doing. And so I want to encourage you right now, if you haven't, go to VFNfamily.org. And we have a university set up just specifically for this type of move, what God is doing, which is, we believe, is the greatest form of soul winning, as Peter Wagner talked about, and you could see more about it at vineseminars.org. But we have VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. You can get to it at vfnu.org. And it's specifically set up, and it's anointed. It's a fresh rhema word from God. It's not like algebra and these different things. It's so that the simple fisherman, the simple plowman, is so that me and you can walk together and watch God move powerfully as he advances his church through our willing obedience to go and carry it. You know, my spiritual father, Ken Summerall, you know, he was always talked about, you know, when I felt a little insecure in ministry, he said he'd go get another degree. He would go get another degree in a religious aspect of it.
Yeah.
And he found out that he was dying by degrees.
Right.
Because the more you personally know in your own knowledge, the more tempted you are to trust that knowledge. But it's amazing how when God saves a man or a woman and they know nothing in God, just everything happens for them because all they have is faith.
Right.
But once they start getting smart, you know what I'm saying? Once they start, it's like, whoa, they start measuring things. And it's like, look what happened. Mm-hmm. Look what happened when you let your knowledge get over your relationship with God.
Right.
Did God change? He never changes. Mm-mm. You can stay in that constant state. I'm not saying stay ignorant, but definitely you need to learn the right things. And the greatest gift that you can be given is the fear of God and humility, which is total dependency on God and respect for other people. For VFNU setups just for that. I mean, it's going to give you the tools. It's going to restructure your thought life and how, because that's what we deal with. We deal with thoughts, you know, what we're thinking about, you know, that, you know, this is the way it's always been done. It's like, well, let's just check with God. What is God? How does God say it needs to be done? And you can, it just restructures you and you start thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe that we've been doing all these for all these years. And this is exactly what the word of God, it's right there in my face. It's been there all along. And then God just sets you free from those mindsets. And all of a sudden you, all those cycles of judgment and everything that's kept you paralyzed and sterile in the midst of your family and in the body, it just gets broken off of you. And all of a sudden you become fertile in the kingdom and you become fruitful. And Jesus says, we're known by our fruit. The whole purpose of us being chosen by God is to bear fruit, much fruit, to show ourselves to be a disciple and fruit that lasts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to get involved in the fruit business, don't we?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, oh my goodness, as you can tell, I'm very excited about that. I'm just excited about knowing that now is the time. Today is the day. You have to make a decision to say, you know what? Am I going to stay confined in this box? Am I just going to be satisfied with God moving in India, God moving in China, other nations? I'm just going to watch this nation fall to its knees and no longer be significant in the kingdom of God. And it can happen. We're not mentioned prophetically.
Right.
Or we're going to rise up and say, you know what? I believe God for a third great awakening, not just a revival. And they were talking about a revival, but I'm talking about a third great awakening, which changes the DNA, rapid church planting. And that can happen in what's happening in China. It can happen with what God has shown us through Vine Fellowship Network. We've totally set up that overnight, 1,000 churches can be birthed in America across the land. You know, John G. Lake planted 5,000 churches in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we can easily see that because we see God showing us the stadiums being filled with worshipers and the end time move. When you think about, you know, God TV founders and her name's slipping my mind right now, but she prophesied about, you know, what's going to be taking place. And she talked about, you know, expressions like Vine Fellowship Network and what's taking place. Let me tell you right now, rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. If you're caught in a religious rut, and if you are, that means this is what's going on in your life. You were totally seduced by all the things of the world. You're probably watching television, you're running, you're in some hobby somewhere, you're doing something so whatever, and you're just, you know, what are you doing with your time? It's just, really, is that what life's about? Is that what life's about? Or is life about an adventure in God, a journey of living this life faithful before our Lord and Savior? No matter what the name is over the door, understand the name should be Jesus Christ over your heart, and you can follow him. You can follow Jesus Christ. You know, it is time to wake up and realize, my goodness, today is the day, now is the time to follow the Lord. We'll be right back. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.